Praise the Lord. All right, this evening, our time is fast spent, so we're going to be quick. Hallelujah. Amen. I have my own testimony too. God has been so faithful. God has been good. I remember as Pastor Omar was just praying over the testimonies, mine just struck me in my heart that, when we came for School of Miracles, I was slightly limping. If anybody remembers, I was limping. I was just drawing one leg. It was paining. I had this pain from my waist down. But I think between that evening, I think it was School of Miracles or so, at the time we came for morning, at the time we came for prayer war, the pain had gone already. Amen. I just want to give God praise. He does mighty things. He's a good, good God. Hallelujah. And then he also lifted a huge burden, and that has been a great blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, we are going to be looking at the part two of God is not through with me yet. All right, the part two of God is not through with me yet. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, take these lips of clay and teach us your word tonight. As we feast on your table, let our lives be transformed and greatly blessed. To you be all glory and praise, Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 8. Hebrews 13:8. All right, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I love that word. I love that scripture. Amen. Let's also see Genesis chapter 8. We're just going to read a number of scriptures and then I go into some, I'll just explain some things. Genesis chapter 8, 1 to 4, then 15 to 22. Genesis 8, 1 to 4. It said, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Restrained. Mark some words. Verse 3, and the waters receded continually from the earth at the end of the 150 days. The waters decreased. So we've been seeing some words, decreased, receded, restrained, stopped. Verse 4. Then the ark rested in the seventh month. And in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountain of Ararat. Hallelujah. Then go to jump over to 15, from verse 15 to 22. Hallelujah. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Hallelujah. So Noah went out and his sons and his wives, and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Remember, it's in the New Testament, you will see a smell that comes to God as a sweet-smelling savour. Hallelujah. So the Lord smelled a sweet, a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis 37. Verse 2, then 41 and verse 46. Okay, let's take 37 verse 2 first. He said, this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. Did I get that? Genesis 37. Yes, okay. Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Go to the next verse. Let's see. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Go to 41, Genesis 41, verse 46. All right. Joseph was 30 years old. Yes, I remember why now. You know, the other time where we read Genesis 37, 2 was talking about how old was Joseph there? 17 years, right? And here is what? 30 years. So, in a total of 13 years, that's the difference, right? So, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Next verse. Now, in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. Hallelujah. So, together, from 17 to 30, 13 good years was what Joseph spent. What Joseph spent. The years with Potiphar and in prison. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. Follow me very well. Remember what we read first in Genesis 8, 1 to 4, and then from 15 to 22. And I said we're talking about God is not through with me yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Mr. Sajiri said something during our testimony, and I think I wrote that down. It's here. I said, if you know the way I put it, you know, possibly I said, where you change something from, if you are going to interpret something from Yoruba to English, you won't get the exact. So this one, I can't even say it in English. So I'm going to say it in Pidgin just the way it is. You see, if you know how God won't take bless you, then be say God hand not the inside. So the way I try to put it in so that people can get it is, if you know about the whole process, how God won't take bless you, if you know about the whole process, so, okay, if you know the whole process, how God won't take bless you, then be say God hand not the inside, because you have become God yourself. If I know that my next meal, which is a miracle or a gift from God, is going to come from Mrs. Durowoju, then I have become God myself. I don't need God again. Hallelujah. I can be praying and trusting God and say, Lord, thank you because you will bless me. Thank you because you have blessed me. Or I'm asking the Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. If I know who God won't take, help me that help, then God is totally useless in my life. Amen. And that's where the robots will say, Onorio de. He said, who knows tomorrow? You don't know. But you have a God that knows. And that's our confidence. That's the confidence with which we operate. We know that when we pray, he answers. And so pastor was hitting on this thing on Sunday. He was hitting on it. He was referring to that hymn. And the thing was giving me bam, bam. What was he saying? He said, oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what things we often forfeit because we do not take it to God in prayer. Because a lot of people, when you're worried, when, yes, I understand, sometimes things can be tough. And then there are worries. And then you're just there and you're saying, hey, sometimes you're overwhelmed. You can't even pray. Amen. You can't even pray. And then, but God is here waiting. Son, what is it? Talk to me. And then you are just, Father. Sometimes people will cry. You cry and cry. You've not said anything. Hallelujah. We have a God that is merciful. Just imagine a child, okay? I remember one of those times where Wari was still a baby, very, very small. She likes crying. She will cry and cry and cry for even not crying. She will find every reason to cry. And one of my worries is that even when she's not feeling well, it's hard to tell because she's always crying. She's always crying. I can't remember now if she was the one time that put something in her ear or something. I can't remember. And about somehow we just carefully move. And you know, babies, they say children, they can't talk. So that stage where they can't talk, it's when they cry that you know that something's wrong with something is definitely wrong somewhere. Something's wrong with this baby. And then sometimes the mother begins to check. Check the back. Is it rash? Is it the teeth? Is it this? Is it that? Is it that? You know, baby, they use cry to communicate. But thank God for the book of 1 Peter. I said, we have grown past that baby stage, all right? We've grown past that milk stage. So we have grown to the point of eating meat, strong bones. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we express ourselves. We talk back his word to him. And then he honors his word. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody next to you. Tell the person, God is not through with me yet. So Joseph spent 13 years in Potiphar's house and in prison. But it's not a waste. It's not a waste. Because just imagine, even the people who had those 13 years and they were not in prison, they were not in slavery, 13 years after, they were not better than Joseph. So that was a process. That was a school he had to go to. A process he had to go through. He didn't even know God was orchestrating, God was working behind the scenes and taking him through stages. All what he had learned in Potiphar's house. The Bible says that God blessed the house of Potiphar because Joseph was there. All what he went through, even there, right there, distinctly you could see that touch of excellence in everything he does. They've had people who had slaved for them, worked for them, but there's this, just like the book of 1 Peter also said, yeah, a chosen generation, peculiar in your way. It was just peculiar. There was something distinct about him. Hallelujah. Amen. The same thing happened in prison also. So sometimes you would have to go through some phases. Some are not palatable. Not palatable. Hallelujah. So, let's see 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings 20, 1 to 6. And there's the story of Hezekiah. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Ammon, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order. You shall die and not live. Can you imagine? The man was just doing God's work. And this kind of message came. Even before Job was advised, curse God and die, some people would have even cursed God already. But I'm walking, I'm faithfully serving, and this would befall me. Ah, God, you are not fair. Some people would be judging God already. Then he turned, verse 2, then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hallelujah. The works that we do, no wonder, I love that part of the scripture that says, your works, your work of love shall not be forgotten, cannot go without being rewarded. Hallelujah. So when we walk, we do it for the Lord. Even when we do things in church, we do it for the Lord. Hallelujah. So that thing you're doing, do it very well. Whether it is ushering, whether it is music, whether it is cleaning the chairs, whether it is in children's department, if it's in techie, whatever it is, do it very well. Because you're doing it to a God that takes record, to a God that rewards faithfulness. Hallelujah. And it happened, verse 4, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle courts that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Thus says the Lord, and I mean the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. God was not saying that it's for the sake of Hezekiah that I was even praying the prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. When God was when Noah made that sacrifice, God brought back what he had promised before. Hallelujah. When God even had, when Jacob had an encounter with God, God brought back again what he had promised his father before. He said, there is a deal. There was a deal. And this deal still stands. This covenant still stands. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1 to 7. About Elisha and the widow. And Elisha and the oil magnate. All right. He said, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. So I was wondering, I remember one of the days, upper week, we had this time out where Mrs. Sajeria and I were talking, and she was hammering on some points here, and they really hit me deeply, and I'm going to emphasize on some of them. When Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Amen. Just like Jesus met that man by the pool and asked the man, what do you want me to do for you? I call it a blank check. So many people miss that opportunity to tell God what they really want. Hallelujah. That's the time so many people want to express their fears. That's the time a lot of people take time to cry. Oh God, if you know, like the man lamented. Say, I have been, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, that I'll be healed. No. He spent time lamenting and relating the story how every time over the years he had missed, for how many years, 35 years, he had missed his slots because before he could even look for wood to help him push him into the water, somebody had entered the water. So he spent all the time to just quickly get his answer, relating how bad he had been treated, how bad he felt, and so many things. He was just telling all the stories. Go back to 2 Kings 4. So it says, verse 2. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" He said, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And really, she had nothing. He says, "Your maidservant, okay, tell me, what do you have in the house?" No, go, verse 2, please. "What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing." Hallelujah. You know, we've always said in church that I think Pastor was saying it even upper week too. There must be something you have. It may look insignificant to you. It may look like, what's this among so many? What can this one do? It's nothing. But you see that nothing? Somebody's looking for it. I think it was Seth Man who was telling the story the other day of somebody who wanted to commit suicide it's the story of somebody was complaining that he does not have shoe. And then he saw somebody who had shoe but does not have legs. That's where you appreciate what you have. That, at least, at the verse, I don't get shoe. But I can't see somebody who say get shoe, but I don't get leg. At least I get leg. You begin to appreciate God for the one you have. I've also seen a clip, just to learn a lesson from, a clip where somebody wanted to commit suicide. So the last banana that he just ate and just threw the remaining one on the floor, somebody passing by just picked and said, "Ah, God, thank you for this provision." And he said, "My case is even better. At least you see banana chopped away. You won't hang yourself." So the one where you throw away, the remnant, somebody is thanking God for it. What is this among so many? He said, "Your servant, your maid servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." So that means it's actually that there is, it's not that there's nothing. But in our eyes, what is this? What is this? What can this do? I can't drink only oil. It won't do me nothing. It can't hold my stomach. So in our eyes, that oil is totally insignificant. There's no flour. There's no rice. There's no anything she can prepare with. So the oil is just, you know, there are ingredients you have in the house. And you will say, I think it was Pastor Muyo that was saying the other time, somebody said, "There's no food in the house." And then he went and entered inside the kitchen. He said, "There's curry here. There's sugar. What are you talking about? This is food." So, but there are some, amongst all these condiments, there's the time you have it. Okay, just imagine that in the house, you came back and you enter the kitchen. All you see is Maggi. What will you do with Maggi? Maggi is totally useless on its own. Amen. Maggi is totally useless on its own. If it's rice, you go say, "Okay, I can just boil rice. Even if no oil, no stew, I can just boil rice, chop it like that. Or just put butter on top or something, anyhow." But oil on its own, Hallelujah. Then, next verse. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. I think Mr. Jerry showed me one other verse where, okay, or she was just relating, and she was saying, she was just, you know, she would have been a very good script writer if she was writing movies. And then when she was just trying to imagine the woman sending her sons, and then they were going around the neighbors. Do you know, this is a woman in debt already. In debt already. And then, just imagine her sons going to meet neighbors for vessels, for containers. Say, "That's your big rubber." Say, "My mama said, make you give me come." So, they were going around and bringing. Neighbors will be wondering, this Madam Oligbese, what do you want to take all this plenty rubber to do? All these plenty vessels. What do you want to take all these containers do? In the old depth. I mean, what said my this to give aluminium people? So you just, I was just trying to imagine how she went around. It takes a lot of faith in the instructions given. She said, go, borrow not a few. So this woman just went about borrowing containers, borrowing drums, you know, and all that. So then, okay, next verse. Let's see next verse. He said, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Instructions are very, very powerful. Why would Elisha tell her to shut the door? Sometimes you just need to shut the door, kick out the devil. Hallelujah. Because in the midst of your carrying out instructions that you have been given, the devil will raise his ugly and say, empty vessel, what do you want to do? All these empty things, what do you want to do for you? But shut the door. Shut doubt out. Shut fear out. Shut the devil and his mouth out. So that you can fully operate in faith within the confines of where your power lies. Hallelujah. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. I try to imagine this assignment. This is very, very broad. So she had gathered all the vessels and she started pouring. He said, you know, he gave instruction before she started. He said, start pouring. Anyone that is full, set it aside. Anyone that is full, set it aside. Anyone that is full, set it aside until you are done. If you ask that, if you give such instructions today, you will hear some questions that will blow your mind. When he said, pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Many people today, we ask him, so what will I do with the ones that are already full? How can I be sure that this small jar that is useless in the house, I will just be pouring? But where will the what will fill all the containers come from? She didn't ask any question. She didn't ask any question. Some people are too intelligent even for instructions. Amen. Amen. You know that sometimes pastor can stand here and be teaching God's word. And he's giving answers even in your field, irrespective of your field. He may be science inclined. He may not even be a specialist in your field. But it really doesn't matter. In that thing, God will give you answer through the word that is being shared. Hallelujah. But people are so super intelligent that they want to ask even the pastor for answers that he has given that he's not even aware of, that God's spirit just led him to. People want to say, but how do you know that? Or how can this? You know? She didn't ask. She strictly obeyed. Follow foolishly. Because if you have the answers already, like I said initially, if you know how God wants to bless you, God had not inside. If she had the answers already, there's no need coming to the prophet. After her husband was also one of the sons of the prophet. If you have the answers, you are that intelligent that you know your business acumen is tight, it's okay, it's top notch, then there's no need coming to the prophet. He said, you see that useless oil in your house? Borrow vessels and start pouring into them. And the woman obeyed, say, yes, sir. And she went and borrowed vessel, and you know, she was just doing and pouring and pouring and pouring. She just obeyed absolutely. Next verse. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Next. Now it came to pass so that's to tell you that it's not something that just it just happened. No. And it came to pass. So it's a process. Amen. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. So she was just busy doing it. And then they bring more. They were bring more. So at the time she's not asking, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel left. Hallelujah. There's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Amen. Something was teaching us some time ago. I can't remember the topic of the message, but then he said, something about your big mouth or something. And then he said, we have the capacity to limit God. As mighty as God is in our own lives, we can limit him. Sometimes with our words, sometimes with our actions. You know, there are people who calculate in their head and say, when I go to Lagos, I'll just find one big church and just enter. 3 months. They have all those calculations in their head. Or I just find one, this is the kind of company where I want to. It doesn't work like that all the time. But when you know the God that you have, the Bible said, they that know their God shall be what? Shall be strong. And they will do what? Exploit. Hallelujah. So when the boy said, there is not another vessel, the oil did what? Ceased. The Bible says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. What that tells me is, if the boy had not said, there's no vessel, what will happen? Company continues. Even with the one that had happened already, go to the next verse. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. So until this point, she had not even known what to do. She only simply obeyed. It's not like Elijah told her, you will not become an oil. It's when the oil had stopped, she ran back. She came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell. Sometimes all we just get is a tip. And then we feel like we have seen it all. And we just go gaga. I say, I don't go to church again. No. You've not even seen the wonders of God yet. Hallelujah. I think it was Sedman that was also sharing about somebody, how God blessed somebody in church, and the person now is too busy to even come to church. So sometimes some people just a tip, just small blessing. They just say, I'm busy. I'm not around. May God help us in Jesus' name. And so that's how she became, that's how she had her debt settled. And that's how, just like the man of God instructed, he said, and you and your son go live on the rest. That means that became their job. That became the market that they do, the thing they lived on. Hallelujah. It became a business. Amen. When we follow him, based on instructions, based on his words, that's there to guide us, to lead us, we can never be stranded. We can never be stranded. He does not leave us stranded. Yes, things may be tough, but there will always be a way out. It seemed like the rain was never going to end. It seemed like the ark was just going to be on the water like that consistently. But God was not through with Noah, from what we read in Genesis 8. God was not through with him. He remembers. He has the plans. We are just to follow. Amen. Let us rise up on our feet tonight. Let's always remember that he is a God who has got our backs. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. If we trust in him and follow him diligently. The outcome is always mind-blowing. I'm going to pray this evening. Father, thank you. Thank you because you lead me always. I'll follow you each and every step of the way. I'll follow you each and every step of the way. I will never be too intelligent for instructions. I'll follow your leading. I'll follow your leading. The Bible says that he gives us his spirit, and his spirit leads us. His spirit leads us. His spirit leads us. Oh, lebrana man nevreno ko pala branda sit aranos levrete kene moshka pakala badadiska ente frenosto pronobos sum teli kala badados olobrondo bos sum tari kabaradados ele mondo romani rebos shakala radia. When he was sending Isaiah to Hezekiah, he said, "I will defend this city for my own sake." So he knows that his glory is at stake. He knows his glory is at stake. Le pala badados. Why does he help us? Why does he come through for us? Because he knows. He knows. He knows. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. It was here that I also learned this. That most times, God, when you are praying, "Lord, bless me with a house," for instance, "bless me with a house." In your mind, you are thinking, "Oh, it will be a land first, and then start molding block, and then this, that, and then the house is standing." In God's eyes, who told you that he cannot bring someone all the way from where you least expect and just say, "Take house"? And that's why I use that word. If you know how God wants to bless you, in hand, not the inside. Because in your mind, you are calculating that for me to get a house, it means that God will first of all give me a land. In fact, a land, even a rubbish one, that they will now begin to feel and survive. Then before we now start to mold block. No. It doesn't work like that with God. Hallelujah. He can give you a perfect, finished, well-furnished everything. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray tonight. Lord, thank you because you are my source that never runs dry. I trust in you. I trust in you. Oh, I am confident that whatever I desire, what I ask, oh, you are more than able. Oh, la man levre donosa. According to your words, you are more than able. Le paramosh karadea. Raman levre donoso tayananesha. You, oh, la man levre donoso rea. I have my needs met in you. I have my needs met in you. Oh, la man levre nokopan nebranamane yadesha rada. You come through for me and you meet all my needs. According to your riches and glory, by Christ Jesus, le paraman the man of God abade. El man levre donoso. I receive grace, I receive favor, I receive strength.